Maybe we start with the history of the Pitt Meadows Museum and
Okay.
Archive.
Well, basically, a group of people came together in 1978, long before I ever even knew there was a Pitt Meadows, and decided there should be some sort of historical society. They incorporated in 1980, and then essentially got a little ramshackle rancher house and put all the stuff they were collecting in the house and around the yard. In 1995, Maple Ridge and Pitt Meadows went through a period where they decided that they were going to come together for the Parks and Rec Department. And with that, because Maple Ridge had a curator, Equitable Funding said that Pitt Meadows had to be given funding to have a curator at their museum. By late 95, they had hired me. And that worked for a good 10 years. During that period, they had also moved into their second ramshackle rancher, but they were given the opportunity to take on this building, which is the old general store and post office for Pitt Meadows. And by 1998, we had finished moving in here. Right on top of that, across the street, the Hoffman family had decided they wanted to give up their 2 acres of land, their house, and their business, which is the Hoffman and Shun machine shop. And we rolled immediately into taking on the donation of that shop. And so since about the year 2000, we've been running two sites for the museum and archives.
And what was your background coming into working with the Pitt Meadows Museum?
I'm a graduate of UBC. I was a classical studies graduate from back around 1982. Basically, in the later 80s, I moved to Prince George with my husband for a job he was taking there. Got a job with the museum up there, which is now the Exploration Place. At the time, it was the Fraser Fort George Regional Museum. And worked there until we returned to Vancouver in 1995. And then just saw a little ad in the paper, the local paper that basically said curator wanted. And put in an application and got the job. Been here, what, 24 years now. The people came together to start their museum were mostly men, mostly farmers, and so they collected larger pieces of farm machinery, and they had a particular affinity for stationary gasoline engines. In fact, collected a lot of iron, which is basically what we refer to it. In fact, they even collected one of the engines from the lift gates at the tunnel from Coquitlam Reservoir down to Bunsen Lake. It's a massive old Fairbanks Morse that they restored and put on a trolley. So we have a lot of big stuff at the museum. They like trucks and that sort of thing. And then, of course, we also have. Because they were able to form in 78 and Pitt Meadows, many of the pioneering families showed up in this community in the very early part of the 20th century. The children of those pioneers were still alive, very elderly, but alive. And so they were giving a lot of objects to the museum, which in this day and age, if they hadn't come in at that time, I think within families, they either would have been lost or considered, oh, it was great grandmother's wedding dress, we'll never give it up. So they end up in people's attics even to this day. So we're very lucky to have some of the objects that relate to the pioneers, some who arrived here in the 1870s at the museum.
Are there things that you're seeking currently or trying to,
You know, there's a few things that over the years that I've been here, I've thought, oh, I really wish I had that. One of them would have been, I'd love to have an original image or an image of Wellington Jeffers Harris. Harris Road out front here is named for the family. He owned most of the land in the Highland area. He was an MLA, a diking commissioner. He was the first reeve of Maple Ridge because Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge were all one community at one time. And no one's ever, we only know of one documented image of him, and it's fuzzy, and he's in a background of a large group of people at a wedding. But I would just love to see an actual image of him that's known, that's documented as being him. My understanding is the Major Matthews collection Well, they have a whole thing on Wellington Jeffers Harris, a whole records unit. They don't have his image. Now, we have an image we think is him, but there's nothing that we have that substantiates that it, in fact, is him.
What are some of the ones that recently you've sort of brought in that you're excited about?
One of my favorite ones that I actually put out to be photographed, and it astounded me when we got it. The way it came to us is we had a school tour from Pitt Meadows Elementary, and they came with their teacher and their librarian, of all people. And they were so excited when they got here, like way more excited than normal. But at the end of the tour, they finally revealed why they were excited, and they handed me a bound volume of material. And you could see the binding on it was probably done in the 80s. Yeah. But inside was the original sign-in book for the number one school, Pitt Meadows, from 1909. And anyone who came and went had to sign in, just like you pretty much do at schools now. But there would be like Mary Jane Harris and members of the McMinn family, all the pioneers of the community. Mm. And it starts on the very first day the very first schoolhouse opened. And then you go through it, and it continues all the way through until Pitt Meadows Elementary was built in the 1950s. And at the very back, which is so funny, is the corporal punishment notes for the kids.
You can see. Yes.
It was just remarkable. Yeah. And they found it lying around in the what they call the paper room for the school, where you keep all the stuff the kids do crafts with.
Sure.
And apparently one of the teachers or a parent found it and said, oh, you know, maybe we should put this in the school library. And when they handed it to the library, she was like, no, it goes to the museum immediately.
Wow.
But it just proves that out there in people's attics, basements, in random places like school paper rooms, there are just items, objects and archival material that's just golden. We also had the city's 100th anniversary in 2014. That was one year that we really actively promoted getting materials, especially archival materials, photographs into the museum.
Mm.
And we actually did have a lot of families bring us their photo albums for scanning. The Blaney descendants, who Blaney was our first Reeve. Mm. The McMinn family found a trunk under a bed that was just loaded with material, letters and photographs. And they wanted to keep the originals, but we had it for like 6 months as we did the scanning. Yeah. And many, many others, and including some where the families just said, keep the album.
Yeah.
And so we had the promotions around that centennial celebration really brought in a lot of images.
Mm. What is your general process in putting together exhibitions for the museum?
It's very organic in here. We have extremely limited funds for doing that. We do use exhibit planning materials to some extent. Our latest two exhibits, we have a toys, dolls exhibit that's gone into place. It's a permanent exhibit as opposed to when we've had them on exhibit in our temporary area. But the other exhibit we're working on, and it's taking a long time, is we're putting together our first First Nations CATSI exhibit here at the museum and working closely with CATSI, who are actually curating it for us. We're doing the physical build of the case and the room, but they're doing all the text, most of the selection of objects and images to go in it.
Mm.
And so that's what I kind of mean by organic. It's kind of, we're not pushing CATSI on what we want to see in the exhibit. Mm. We're allowing them to generate it from their point of view. Where we're morphing is from just sort of the colonial history of the community, which was really very, very important, of course, in the late 70s, early 80s, to the people who put together the museum, because they were the children and the grandchildren of those, the people basically colonized in the community, to where we recognize that need for the visitors to and new residents of the community to actually see what their the pre-contact history was.
Mm-hmm.
And also the process where CATSI has come to grow in the community post-colonization. You know, so basically, that's basically, there'll be a whole, basically a whole room will be given over to that, which I think is a lot of progress within the museum itself. The original Museum Society had incredible confidence in the children of those pioneers. I mean, and then I think you go through a period where people wonder. And then we've worked really hard in the last 20 some odd years to really build up the relationships, both with the old families of Pitt Meadows and also with all the new residents. Because even since I've worked here, it's grown by thousands of people. I mean, we've it's become way more of a bedroom community. And so I think just through the programs we offer and the two high-profile buildings we're in, I think we have a really, I like to believe we have a really good reputation in the community.